Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Now, your teen daughter is smart and she's capable, but what do you do when the school calls and tells you she's been talked to for bullying? Well, we'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, Are You Feeding the Behavior That You Want Your Child to Change? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question that you'd like me to address on this podcast, please don't be shy. We're all going to benefit from your question, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, why not download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide? Now, let's all remember, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, this week, we're hearing from Susan, and Susan hails from Phoenix, Arizona. And Susan writes, my 13-year-old daughter has been talked to at school for bullying. She's been telling all the girls in the school play that they don't know how to act and the play is going to be a failure. Now, this is a pattern with her where she thinks she knows better than anyone. At home, she constantly criticizes her older sister who is shy and not as academically gifted as she is. Her father and I tell her that her behavior is going to get her in trouble, but she just says that's her problem and then criticizes us for the things that she thinks we do wrong. On the school's recommendation, we sent her to a therapist to work on what they call pro-social skills, but we don't see anything changing. What do you advise? Okay, thanks, Susan. This is a good question. Here you have a daughter who is smart and talented, and yet rather than appreciate her gifts, she chooses to criticize everyone around her that she thinks isn't as smart or talented as she is. And of course, being smart and talented doesn't mean you're right, especially at age 13. So, let's see if we can get a bead on what this might all be about. And, of course, what you might do about it. As I've said before, we're not going to solve a problem that we don't understand. So, let's start by asking ourselves this question. Why would a bright, talented 13-year-old girl demonstrate arrogance and a lack of empathy or concern for how she makes others feel? Well, there are two places to look, right? Nature and nurture. So let's make the assumption that she is competitive and intense in her temperament. That's nature. That would account for how different she is from her sister. And yet, even with a competitive, intense temperament, she should be able to tone it down and show respect for others and their feelings. Certainly by age 13, right? Well, generally speaking, and I mean very generally, someone who is very critical of others also has a level of self-criticism going on. And rather than face their own sense of being not good enough, they aim those feelings at others. So let's ask this question. Why would your daughter have a sense of not being good enough? Now, I can see that your daughters, Susan, have concerned parents who want them to do well. So what might be going on in the family dynamics that could bring about these feelings with your daughter? Well, here are a couple of scenarios that occur to me. Scenario number one, you and your husband has a similar temperament to your daughter. Let's say it's dad, and let's imagine that dad isn't a good listener, that he barks orders, and when someone doesn't comply, he gets critical. Well, your older daughter learns to follow orders and not argue, and she carries her hurt feelings inside, and that makes her less confident and outgoing. Now, our competitive 13-year-old, however, she sees the flaw in dad's demands and fights back against his unjust criticism, And she gets criticized for fighting with Dad, and this hurts her developing sense of self. And what does she do? She copes by fighting back and being as critical as Dad is. That's one possibility. All right, let's go to another. We'll call this scenario number two. Neither you nor your husband have an intense competitive temperament, and dealing with your daughter has always been a problem because she has a tendency to overwhelm everyone. So to cope with it, sometimes parents give in and let her get her way. And even though it isn't what her sister wants or her parents think is best or fair, they just let it go because it's just a lot easier. But then, sometimes after letting her get her way too often, parents put their foot down and tell her she's being selfish for always needing to get her way. Well, at this point, our now 13-year-old has learned that the way to get her way is to fight for it, because that's what works. But she doesn't feel good about herself because everyone is annoyed with her, and she's labeled as selfish. In both of these scenarios, there is a parent-child control battle going on. In the first example, it's obvious, right? Dad is trying to get your daughter to cooperate, and daughter is fighting for autonomy and validation to win. Now, in the second example, even though neither mom or dad are in direct conflict with her, they are always either giving in to daughter's demands and giving her control, or putting their foot down and fighting against daughter's control. And that too is a control battle. Susan, sending her off to therapy holds little hope because she isn't motivated, and the therapist is there to help a young teen solve a problem that she doesn't acknowledge she has. So, if I'm even slightly close on my guesses, and chances are I am, here is what you can do. Stop fighting with your daughter, and for starters, have a control battle ending conversation. It could go something like this, and I'm just going to call your daughter Emily to make this conversation come alive a little bit. Emily, you are an amazing young woman, smart, talented, and very strong-minded. And with your gifts, your future has many wonderful possibilities, not only for you, but for others as well. Your capabilities position you for leadership in any field you choose. Now, for a long time, we've had too much strife in our family. We as parents have been struggling with you, and you with us. That's not a healthy environment to support you or your sister's growth and development. We've given you the impression that the way to get what you want is to fight for it, and our criticisms of you have led to teaching you to criticize. We owe you an apology for that. It was the wrong lesson. Being the terrific young person you are, you deserve our support and validation, as well as our limits and our guidance. You are very smart and very strong-minded, both good things, but we have failed to teach you to use your gifts to support and help others. Our criticism of you led to your criticism of others. That's only natural. Now, we all need to learn and grow in the areas of understanding others' feelings and needs and supporting others. Okay, so, Susan, having had this conversation, that's, by the way, a very abbreviated one, so it can be longer. You can talk about how much you love her and care about her and all her wonderful qualities, not just her strength and her competitiveness and her gifts. We could talk about some of her interests as well and how much you notice them and how those things endear her to you. But having had this conversation, going forward, predictably, Emily is going to show up with the same behavior she had before. It's just not going to change that quickly. So, for instance, Let's say you announce that the family is taking a day trip to Grandma's and making dinner there since Grandma doesn't cook much anymore and needs the company as well. So Emily might say, well, you can go, but I'm not. It's too boring there. What you're not going to say, Susan, is, Grandma needs the company. Quit being so selfish. What you might say is, yes, being with elderly people can be boring for teenagers. It's hard for me and Dad to give up a whole weekend day, too. So, I've got a question for you. If it's hard to give up the time and it's boring, why do we do it? So by asking the question, we're not arguing to get her to do anything. We are inviting her to think about others and why we do things for others. She's a smart girl. Now, she may very well avoid answering, and she goes right back to fighting to not go, but having asked the question, she has the answer in her head. And you can simply say, I know you love your grandma, and you and I know it means a lot to her to see you. So, of course, you're coming. Now, think of some things you can do to make it less boring. I know there are some things that Grandma needs done at the house, so before we go, let's all get together and decide on what things we'll work on. Then you won't get so bored. Do you hear what we're doing there, Susan? We're acknowledging her feelings, number one. Then we go on and talk about the situation, how to deal with it. No fighting, no debating, no calling her selfish or uncooperative. You simply clarify your expectations, linking those to your daughter's better angels. Does that make sense? Okay. Susan, somewhere along the way, you and your husband became disempowered in your relationship with your daughter. What will help now is a more empowered parenting persona. If you need some help with this, you could consider family therapy. That could be a good option to support your daughter in helping you support your daughter in developing greater awareness and support of other people's feelings and how to use her competitive spirit in a positive way and learn how and when to use other skills. And yes, the therapist should support those goals as developmentally important for your daughter, but you and your husband need to own an empowered parenting role. The therapist isn't a substitute for that. So this may all change slowly because the dynamic has been going on for a while, and I don't see your daughter backing down and being vulnerable very easily. However, she's a good student. She's in the school play, so she's engaged and sees herself as being successful. And she has parents who love and care about her. And also, she's very young and just starting her adolescent journey. So, if you stay positive, acknowledge and appreciate her strengths while inviting her to use empathy, she's going to get there. So, Susan, you also might opt to see a therapist on your own to find out why you've given away your power and how to take it back and how to own it. So, listeners, when we have a problem with our child or our teenager's behavior and it's not changing, we need to ask ourselves if we're in a control battle with our child and their behavior. Because if we are, then we are, in fact, whether we want to admit it or not, feeding the behavior that we want our child to change. And sending them off to a therapist is not going to fix it. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to Susan for her intriguing question. And please remember to take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenteen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.